Well, that's life-changing. I think we had 14 or 15 people give their lives to Christ in Detroit Lakes, which is real cool. And the Bible gets pretty excited about it. One person saved, there's 1,000 angels rejoicing in heaven. That's not a bad deal. We had 15,000 going, you know. Just think about having 15,000 people in a service just rocking it out. I was thinking, yeah. And I'm sure their rocking is a whole lot better than our rocking in them heavenly places. Hallelujah. Well, God bless you. Thank you, praise and worship team. Let's give them a hand once again for the dedication. I know they're led by the Spirit. I know they're called of God. I know their gifting is there for the time and the season that they live on planet Earth. But it's if we will respect that, then God will respect whatever we're called to and the purposes and plans that God has for us. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. All right. Danny, do we have any, you got some money? Oh, okay. My problem is I see money and I go for the jugular vein. Yeah, we're going to receive the offering. But I just, is there any announcements that we're needing to announce for this next season of time? Wait a minute, August, did we settle on that? Why don't you give us a little bit of update?
The second Sunday in August, we're going to have a baptism and a picnic across by the beach, okay?
What park is that?
What's LaFave Park, yes. And LaFave Park. It's not. So, yes, the second Sunday in August, and I don't know what day that is. Somebody got a calendar? Mary?
Not too far away.
Okay, the 8th of August. Okay? The 8th of August is when we'll have the picnic in the park. So, call your neighbors, tell them to come, okay? And then we'll have a baptism after the dinner, okay? The first Sunday is elders meeting at 6:30 here at the church. And I think those are the only two announcements that I know of.
All right. Well, we have an opportunity to sow into the kingdom of, let's say, I'm trying to think, community church that God has created. I really believe by us coming out and agreeing together that we're going to stay together, work together, labor together, love together, maybe sometimes suffer together. But it's a good thing. So when you bring your tithes and your offerings, God will honor that by bringing the blessings that He places on the promises of when you bring that tithe, that God will open up windows that you could not open by yourself in any way, shape, or form, and give you a mind-blowing experience in your offerings and your tithes. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be able to give into the kingdom for such a time as this. Prayer is very important. It doesn't have to be too fancy. Just getting your heart to your heart, God, our heart to your heart will change everything, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. God bless you and your tithes, your offerings, and if you're making out a check, you can make it payable to the community church. Thank you so very much for the offering to Brother Dave as he came and ministered to us. And it was a very, very, very successful time in all aspects. So that's great. So with that, let's receive the offering. All right. All right. All right. We do have some opportunities. Is this only for the music area that we're dealing with here? Nothing with the well? Not yet. Okay. Okay, well, we're trying to do some real cool things, and cool sometimes takes... Yes. I'm sorry? Oh, all right. I like that. Yeah, I like to see progress. Two cameras, that's going to be very, very good. This is the time, you know, 5 years ago we were doing it, but now everyone's doing it, and it's being received as a great impact for the gospel's sake. So let's continue on that venture, and we'll keep you posted on it. Amen. Well, what challenge were we challenged with from Brother Dave Wagner when he came here? Huh? Praying in the Holy Ghost. Okay. All right. Speaking in tongues, yeah. Well, was it speaking tongues or praying in tongues? Okay, so we got the speaking in the Holy Spirit, tongues, speaking in tongues, which is speaking in the Holy Spirit. So with that thought, baptism of the Holy Spirit is a gift that God gives us as we ask for it and are ready to receive it. He will give it to you. And so many people make it such a big deal. It is a big deal, but everything that I've ever experienced with God is a big deal. The very first day I believed and made that walk to the altar, it was a majorly big deal. So let's make these things a big deal. And if you have not been baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, we can pray for you today. Testimony. Is this gal, she desired speaking in tongues. She was from Manoman, and she was just, I mean, like, in the say, I have to have that gift. And so every time she'd come up, she'd come up, we'd speak ourselves, we'd pray in the Spirit and different things, but she wouldn't receive it, or she wouldn't receive the gift of it. And so about 6 o'clock in the morning, on a Sunday morning, I get this telephone call from this woman that is just like out of her mind. And she received the Holy Spirit in her sleep. You know, sometimes we fight because it's something that we're not used of, or it's not normal, or other people don't do it. Well, I just want a biblical truth to become a biblical result in my life. And God will even put you to sleep, give you tongues, you wake up, you're speaking in the Spirit, and you're going, wow. And she was so excited. I appreciate the call, right? But yeah, it was pretty exciting. And they're still doing that. And so we've been challenged for the next 30 days. What day is it right now? The 20th? Huh? 25th? 25. Okay, so how many, let's say 30 days in a month, okay? So the 25th through the making you work. So 25th of August, yeah. Would give 5 days, that'd be five onto that. How many people would buy into that? Because it said that it would be a life-changing deal. Yeah, you can have hands. You can raise your hands. You're going, I don't know if I'm going to buy into that. I'm buying into it because I want to change my life. And if it only takes 30 days to do it, in some change. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm sure it's going to be a good change, and I'm sure it's going to be a blessing change. And so it brings us back to the power of prayer. Prayer is something that God designed for us, that if we would do it, it would change our life forever. And it's not even an if, it's not optional. It's not something like, well, maybe I'll pray. Well, if you don't pray, you expect, if you pray and you pray for nothing, what do you get? So if you don't pray and get nothing, same result, okay? And praying in the Spirit is, and I'll run that at the end of the service, but praying in the Spirit is an important part of freeing ourselves from ourselves. Because sometimes our minds and our thoughts and the things that we think about biblically speaking and what we form in our minds needs to come out of revelation. And revelation will transform us. You know, he'll come in and he'll transform us. And the very day that I believed, I didn't receive the Holy Spirit. I struggled with receiving the Holy Spirit because everyone that was praying for me would never pray in the Holy Spirit when they were praying for the Holy Spirit. And so I got some Holy Spirit praying crazy people when they prayed, you weren't going to. It was like almost like an automatic thing. And it just went like that. And I think it's an important thing. And if it isn't taught in a proper way or isn't presented in a proper way, sometimes we get into the 90% that don't believe in tongues in the church. You know, and whether they believe or not is still a very biblical truth. It's a biblical thing. Paul said that I pray in tongues more than you all, so I guess maybe I'll take Paul's leading on that, means he was one of the first apostles in the Bible. And so I was thinking about the genesis of prayer. You know, in Genesis, there was something that went on. Probably, who do you think said the first prayer? You know, that's why I went to Genesis. Who do you think said the first prayer? I would say Adam. You know, and then just the thought of Adam and Eve walking with God in the cool of the evening and receiving things from God. That's pretty close to the most prophetic things that you could receive. And giving him understanding to the place that he named the whole animal kingdom. There was revelation, there was prophetic thoughts that went into it. You'd say, well, he was just out there and all of a sudden, elephant, lion, tiger, giraffe. I think that God did something super spiritual and started some things. And I really don't believe it made much sense, you know? I mean, in our natural carnal mind, it wouldn't make much sense. But in the mind of God, the mind of the one that was being used by God, which was Adam at that time, and even the prophetic things that went on with Adam and Eve and the things that God spoke over their lives, you know, God can use us in a prophetic sense. I remember coming to services that I would just say, Lord, use me in a prophetic sense. And sometimes it was two words or God loves you. When I come up here, I remember Barb Bruno saying, the guy doesn't even know how to pray. Felt good about that. And the problem is she had a tape on me, you know, and all I did was, oh God. Oh God, hallelujah, and it's continuing to work. If I have problems, oh God, here we go again, hallelujah. So the genesis of prayer, God is a God of purpose. We have to remember that God, you know, he has purposes. And so if he makes us in his image and his likeness, it's a purpose and it's on purpose. You'd say, well, I just directed my life and I started doing this, I started to do that. No, God's got your number. He knows what you're doing. He knows how you're doing it, and he knows how you got there. So God is a God of purpose, and his purposes are eternal. You think about that. They're eternal purposes. And this last week, being with Dave, one of the greatest things that were given to me was the word thing. You know, in everything give thanks. You know, all things work together for good. And I just started thinking about things, and there's a lot of things in our life every day. Really, there is. And your job is a thing. You'd say, well, it's just my job. No, it's a thing that will change people's lives, or it will financially keep you alive. But if you take it to the thing, God gave me that thing, that job, that opportunity to prosper, that place that he's called me to. And some people, you know, they say, well, I got a job and I hate it and I'd like to quit. Well, why don't you? Well, I have to make money. And so it's not the thing, it's the money. And the fact is, I wouldn't want to work a job just for money if I didn't have God's thing in the perspective of what I was doing. And whatever I was doing, if you got God's thing, it's a pretty exciting area. You can talk about it. It can be a life-changing experience for the people around you. You can go through persecution, which you need to go through sometimes, because you're believing in the thing. You know, if you don't believe in anything, if the moral decay of the world is not on your heart and life, well, then you don't, and that's the thing, and you don't believe that that needs to be stood up against and saying, hey, I stand against that thing, because it's not right. It's wrong. And, you know, you get into subject matter and people, they'll argue about that, and I think that's a good thing. It's because if we don't stand up for the truth, if we don't come with the truth of God's word and what he's accomplishing on the earth, we're missing a great opportunity to do a great thing for the earth that we live on and for the people that we're around, for the society, our children, our grandchildren. It's important to stand up and say, well, I don't believe that. And of course, you might get a kickback or a kick out, whatever. But God has eternal purposes for the plans and purposes that he has for you, and especially him. Because it's God's plan. You find out God's plan. Okay, what kind of plan are you working on? Well, I'm working on a God plan. Good. Hallelujah. God created mankind for and with a desired purpose. You know, I was up in Bedette, and anyone that has went to Bedette, been at the lighthouse with Jim and Sue Yoakum, you walk into the place, and it's almost spooky. Because God has taken Jim, and he uses them as a micromanagement of the things of the Bible. Like, he'll take things and... It's unbelievable. Like, he has the Ark of the Covenant, and it's just made perfectly. And he has all of the flags of the world in the sanctuary. And the sanctuary isn't so big. I love flags, too. And I was looking, I said, man, I'd like to see that at the church, because we have a world view, not just a Thief River view, and we love Thief River. Jake, would you stand up, turn, stand up, and then turn towards us, Jake. We love our city. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jacob. I appreciate that. We're just getting, anyone else has that t-shirt? No. Okay. So God desires offspring with whom he could share a relationship of love. Okay? So Adam and Eve were actually an example of what God wanted to do for mankind to receive a relationship of love. Okay? So when he was walking in the garden, now, I love the garden because the garden was a cool place, not only in weather-wise, but it was perfect in all its ways. And he would walk with Adam and Eve because he loved them. He loved who they were. He wanted to pour his whole, everything, what he was, into them and the garden. It was a perfect place. You know, I've been kind of challenging people. I said, well, you run into them, usually you run into people saying, well, we're not perfect. And, you know, then, of course, you get into the subject matter. I do not get in that subject matter. I shouldn't say that. I'm in that subject matter right now, so I do get into it. But I'm going, well, why not perfect? And right away, it's because then all of our thoughts come, is because we look at where we're at and not where he's at. I loved what Dave Wagner, when they dropped him off at a house in the middle of the night, there were 7 bedrooms in there, beautiful place, been there many times. And he got there, he didn't know where the bedrooms were at, and there was a couch, uncomfortable. And so they got 7 bedrooms, uncomfortable couch, a beautiful lake right out in front of them, windows that were as big as that section anyway. And so he went to sleep in the middle of the night. God wakes him up and said, where are you at? And I just think about that. You know, like you get into this place, you don't even know where you're at, but you're someplace. And God was trying to get, in Dave's mind, I believe, was trying to get, where are you at? What you're doing? What are you doing? And it was in the middle of a purpose and a plan for Dave's life to be there. And I'm sure when he woke up in the morning and when he went to the first service, he understood more about where he was at. You know, we always call Ashby as out in the middle of a cornfield. Now, he wasn't in the middle of a cornfield. That was good. But you know, sometimes we have to get to the place saying, there's 7 bedrooms in this place. Why not take a bedroom? He just didn't know where he was at. And it was dark and a little bit stormy and windy. And there's trees around there, oak trees, it's beautiful. But you wake up in the morning, it's gorgeous. And you wake up to the scenery and everything. And I think that we need to know where we're at. And if you're at a place, like he said, I don't know where I'm at. But hang on and you'll find out where you're at. And I find out the people in the world that we're living today is everyone has problems. And I bar none. And they're struggling in some situation or even rejoicing in some situation, wondering what they're going to do because of the blessing that God's placed upon them. And so we have to realize that what's our purpose on planet Earth, and we're going to continue to go on that as far as prayer is concerned and how we release prayer. God desires offspring with whom he could share a relationship of love as well as rulership and dominion. Rulership and dominion. How many people like to be rulers? That's some of the problem. rulership and dominion. How about dominion? You start taking dominion over every aspect of your life. That's kind of what the purpose of God. You say, well, you know what? God's all powerful. Okay, great. God's all powerful. How are you doing? I mean, how are you doing in all powerful? How are you doing in your dominion over areas that God has given you all powerful strength to change things? Love it. Hallelujah. So that relationship of love and rulership and dominion comes into our life because that's the purpose of God for Adam and Eve as they walked in the garden. I don't believe that it was ever God's intention that Adam and Eve would leave the garden. I believe that the garden was supposed to grow throughout the earth instead of you have to leave the garden because of disobedience or sin issues or this or that. I think we have to go back to the garden and get off the thought of I'm going to get my life together. I'm going to stop sinning. I'm going to stop thinking that way. I'm going to stop doing all those things. And we get back to dominion and we get back to rulership over our own personal lives. And I think that that's what God is really calling us to do, that the garden of God would grow throughout the earth instead of we're taking it here and there and they're not understanding what's going on. I believe that God wants heaven on earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And with that thought, that would take dominion where your thoughts are at. Say, hey, God, you sent us to this place to change it for you. You gave us a born-again experience that old things have passed away. You're not the same person. You're dead. You're dead to sin. You're dead to the earth that you're living on. And you're alive unto God with all of his power, all of his ability. God created mankind in his image with his nature and moral character. I love moral character. Well, God was everything that is unmoral on the earth today. And we go, bingo. That's not bingo, and that's not God. Amen? Hallelujah. He gives us this moral character and sovereign will. I love the word sovereign. People don't even like to have God having a sovereign will, that God does what he wants, when he wants. I do believe that he gives us, or we take what we want, but it isn't what he wanted for us. He wants much more for us. And it comes down to a moral compass, a moral character, and a sovereign will to carry out the will of God on the earth. Come on now, work with me. To carry out the will of God, yes. The will of God on the earth. And it's something that's built into us. It isn't something, well, you know what? I was around my dad and mom. They were good people all the time. There were never no problems. Ma loved mama, or ma loved daddy, and daddy loved mama. And they never had a problem. Well, when you run into people like that, grab them and bring them to the post office and send them to heaven where they belong, which is good. But the sovereign will, I really believe that we have a will that if we will do what God has called us to do, we're going to get the results, the purpose that God has for us on the earth. We're looking for purpose. I'm looking for a plan for my life. And sometimes if I go shipwrecked on the plan, it's not God's problem, it's my problem. And then, of course, that's a downer. But the downer is that you can go for God's plan. I'm going to get back on God's plan and we'll go that route. Hallelujah. So God gave mankind the freedom to function as a legal authority on the earth. You're illegal. No, you're not illegal. You are legal, an authority, freedom to function as a legal authority on earth. I'm a legal authority according to God's word. When I ask for permission, it's not a begging and a pulling. It's a legal authority that I have by the word of God to speak it and believe that it is going to come to pass because I have spoke it in prayer. See, prayer is the most powerful thing that we have. That's why the devil's always messing with it. And he gets you, well, you know, no one can pray God's will. No one can do this. No one can do that. We can do it all according to his word. You know, teaching is probably the greatest thing that we probably miss in the body of Christ. We have to be taught and then believe what we're taught and then go on. That's why he gave us apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. And that's why you're sitting here now, hopefully believing that God is giving you something that will change your life for this next week, like it changed your life for the last week, and like your 30 days of speaking in an unknown language, and he said that he'll change you. Now, when you get into those realms, you don't know what's going on, except there's a unity where it looks like a disunity because no one can understand what you're saying and you can't understand what they're saying. But you know, sometimes you need your mind blown because your mind's trying to control everything, especially your tongue. And you listen to people when they come in 5 minutes' time, you can discern where they're at in kingdom life. Really, 5 minutes, maybe 1 minute, maybe 30 seconds by just looking at them. You're going, we got some work to do here. And when you start talking to people, it's almost like, you know, a cow looking at a new gate going, where'd that come from? I don't know if you've ever seen a cow looking at a new gate. It's got to be quite an experience. I haven't had that experience. I might go out and do the deal, but hallelujah. So man, God gave mankind the freedom to function as the legal authority on the earth. His place, his will for the earth on the cooperation of man's will. This purpose never changes even after the fall of mankind. Oh, after the fall, everything went to hell in the handbasket. No. It was discerned and not taken away that you couldn't do what was God's call on your life, purpose on your life, plan on your life, instead of just going, well, you know, because of the fall and Adam and Eve, and they get blamed for a lot of things, and you become the pointing of the finger of the very thing that they did that shouldn't have been done, because it was always God's plan to bring his church, his people, into that heavenly place with him. In fact, David brought it out. He said, I'm not here. I'm in heavenly places with Christ. In fact, our conference this year is going to be called Heaven Now. Because heaven's now. You remember last year was, what's next? Heaven Now. What's next? Heaven now. And I just believe that God is going to start showing himself and showing up in ways that are going to be mind-blowing. And people are going to be beginning to see the purpose, the plan of God through your lives. Not through God coming down and, you know, fire flying out of mountains, voices coming, roars like that. It's going to be in the thing. Everything, all things, God's going to change all things, and it's going to be wonderful. It's going to be a wonderful experience in the things of God. And his will on the earth and the cooperation of man's will, this purpose never changes. It'll never change. You know, what God's wanting to do, it's written in the word, and he never wants to change it. And it's for mankind before the fall, in the garden, walking with God in the cool of the evening. That's God's plan. And the rest of it doesn't amount to a hill of beans, really. It's God's plan, his purpose. His intention is to bring us to the garden and then walk it out in the cool of the evening. You know, that was another word that David gave us. It was rest. you know, rest in redemption, rest in, you know, being changed by the power of God. I just love it. Praise God. When the prophet comes, we should hear that. God's will is his purpose for mankind. His will, to fulfill what they are created to be and do. Men and women must desire to do God's will. Well, to do God's will, you have to find out what God's will is. Wouldn't that make sense? And so, okay, now this is going to be hard. This is going to take the 30-day fast. This is going to take everything that you ever could experience. You fast, you pray, you lose all sorts of weight. You're all excited about that. And the fact is, God is just saying, hey, my purpose, my plan is that I'm going to show you it and that you can step out. And it's in your nature. It's in your heart. It's in your desire. That's how you got born again. You know, well, how did you get born again? Well, I went to an evangelical meeting and someone was preaching this story, and all of a sudden something happened when he had or she had a invitation to come to Jesus Christ. I come to Jesus Christ. I gave my heart to Jesus. He said, old things had passed away. Behold, all things are new. You are a new creation in Christ. Really? That's purpose, that's plan. Amen. Number one, prayer is an expression of mankind unity and relationship of the love of God and the love with God. See, when you love God, he'll start just showing you things. Okay, the very first day that I believed, and there was a relationship that I had with him, and I confessed with my mouth, believed in my heart, it changed me forever. And the second day, he changed me some more. The third day, he changed me some more. I couldn't tell you all the changes, but I bet you in a 3-month time, I was changed 1,000 times. You know, in my mind, I mean, I used to be a dirty old man. I mean, literally, you know, looking for dirty jokes, looking for anything that you could, you know, throw out there that people would laugh at and this and that. Hey, you know what? That wasn't cool. But you were looking to be the life of something, and something amounted to nothing, not something. But you thought it was amounting to something, and most people that end up like that, they end up on drug, alcohol areas that they cannot control their own deal, and then they're I remember they'd invite me to the party because they thought I was the life of the party until you went past their thoughts of life, you know, and you started acting, you know, way out of the bounds of any area that made any sense. And then pretty soon they wouldn't invite you to parties anymore. That's a bum deal, you know, when you're the life of the party. And now you're not the life anymore, you're the bummer of the party. You know, people would come, they'd see Kurt Jacobs, and they're going, well, we're leaving. I'm protecting my wife. Yeah, you know what I'm saying. You know, just the thoughts and the things that get into a person's mind, that's not God's thoughts, that's not God's way, that's not heavenly places, but without someone going up and just flat telling them, hey, if you're wrong, God's right, that settles it. And you'll fight with them for a while, but you won't win. Hallelujah. Prayer is the involvement of one's whole self with God. When I pray, your whole self is... I remember the revelation that God gave me on abortion, and I shared that probably, I should share it every week. But he gave me a revelation on abortion, and he brought me to this little building, the first building that we built. And I come over here on Saturday night, and I'd been on a march with Linda and Paul Ramsey, and they had assembled some people over in Grand Forks. And I went on that march thinking I was spiritual and I should go on that march because I was the pastor. And I got tore up big time. And God showed me well, Jesus showed me what he thought about abortion. And you remember the signs that were put out there where Jesus was holding the little baby? And then he's crying over this little baby. Man, it was 2 hours of weeping and just getting ripped up in heart and soul and life. And you were so stinking, so far out, and you'd believed the lie that they were telling you. And if I was anything, if I was nothing in the ministry, if I was not anything, I would never embrace that thought again because it's such a demonic force. And the enemy wanted to do that to the kids and to our legacy, what was coming. And you know what? That's going on right now. All this stuff that they're doing with the kids and all of the problems we're having in the school system, everything, it's helter-skelter from the devil himself. And we just need to stand against it, stand up for the truth. Doesn't mean that you have to go out and march. If it does, we'll go out and march, have a sign, you know. I remember Steve Cornemone we were in Mississippi marching at the Mardi Gras, and he was carrying this sign, and he looked up at the sign, and he said, "I don't even think I believe this sign." For himself, the conviction on himself. And I looked at it too, and I said, I probably don't either. He probably had a wrong spirit on it. I don't know. But, you know, sometimes we do things because other Christians are doing them, and that's the way to do it. No, you need to take a discernment and saying, okay, God, what is your purpose? What is your plan for my calling, my life? And you know what? With that type of conversation, man, that goes a long way. When I can't have a conversation, I always have a conversation with the people that I work with and stuff like that. They might not like it, and I'm always talking to them about Jesus and saying, you really need to give your life to Jesus, and you're driving the vehicle. That was Tom. You're driving the vehicle in the parade, and you get them involved because they do believe in what you're saying. They just can't figure out the purpose and plan for their lives in what you're saying. And so whatever you can do to help them is a very good thing. Prayer is the involvement of one's whole self with God. When I pray to God, God, thank you for showing me those things about abortion. Thank you, Lord, for showing me about things about losing a son. And I know, Lord, that you lost a son. And I know, how does it feel? You know, where he was perfect, where he was a genuine example of who you are, God, and he had to lose him through and to an unperfect people. I mean, we serve a God that's very, very powerful. And the love and the kindness of who God is goes beyond anything that we could ever believe or could ever imagine. So there's some great things that God's doing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We should always think of humanity, dominion, and the context of joint purpose with God based on mutual love of the relationship of sons and daughters. He doesn't want servants. He has sons and daughters. You're a son, you're a daughter. And, you know, I've been trying to figure out, I've had a lot of counseling situations that I've been into this last 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and it's just nuts. It's crazy. You wouldn't even believe it if you heard it, except God saying, well, what are you going to do? And how are you going to do it? And I just believe that God is, he's bringing us, the Heavenly Father is bringing us to accept the situations, but don't accept that they can't be changed. Amen? Every situation and whoever it is can be changed. And sometimes the situation they get into is because of their calling and the grace that God's placed on it, and they misused it. But God is wanting to bring them back and bring them to full forgiveness and giving the goodness of God from the Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I think prayer, again, I was just thinking about prayer and the 30 days of prayer. And I think, you know, it does tell us to pray in the spirit and understanding. And I don't think that God's going to disqualify any type of prayer if it's in understanding or in tongues and those areas. I think that God's wanting us to pray. And for this period of time, what are you up to over there? That felt good. That felt like Jenny, Adam, and Jake. So anyway, I think our life that we have when we pray is going to change things. And I think maybe David was instructed by God prophetically is that, well, if I pray with understanding, then that's the way it will be fulfilled. But when you pray without understanding, not knowing what you're saying, but releasing yourself into his understanding, we begin to receive understanding that's mind-blowing. So I encourage you in that type of prayer, in that type of season of prayer, I'm going to get my half hour sometime today. Maybe it works better for you early in the morning. Sit down and just go for it. Maybe it'll be, if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, in sense of speaking in tongues, maybe you just say, hey, Lord, give me that gift as I pray. And then pray with understanding, and God will release that upon you in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't we stand up? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why don't you grab each other's hands? And we're just... Go ahead, Jaden. Stand up. Jaden, stand up with your dad and grab his hand. All right. Little instruction. He'll be all right. Hallelujah. Father, I believe, Lord, that what we're doing here is not for our own personal benefit. It will personally benefit us. But I believe it's for the generation that is right around the corner. I believe it's for moms and dads, our sons and daughters. I went to that meeting over in Detroit Lakes. I met more people that I grew up spiritually with, and they're not looking so young anymore. And so then I had to go to my truck and look in the mirror, and I'm probably not looking so young anymore. But from young to old, God has been faithful. And they were sitting in there, and I was thinking about all their sons and daughters that are out there. Some of them aren't serving the Lord, many are. I was thinking about their grandchildren. Mal Manning, he had a family reunion. He had 125, 130 people that were his grandsons and sons and grandsons. Just think of that. The whole church. God, we call for this generation. We pray for it, Lord. God, that each person would take the plan that you have for them, the purpose that you have for them, and their lives would be transformed because that's what you're in business for. Bringing us into a garden that we didn't prepare, that we didn't have anything in the growing, but you grew a perfect place, environment. I pray that for my sons, my daughters. I pray that for my offspring from generation to generation. I'm in heavenly places. I'm in a garden of God, and that it will spread throughout the earth instead of that place And just if I get to that place, I can be delivered. But God, the place would be in our lives continuously. You wake up in the morning and you'd praise Him because you're in that place. Where are you at? I'm in that place. How long are you going to stay there? As long as I possibly can. Then I'm going to spread the place throughout the earth. God, I'm going to be a creator of that place because it was Christ that paid a price that I could not pay. But yet He said, I will create a place for you that you'll understand that it's greatest place on the face of the earth. I thank you for each person in this room and their families and everything that they, their desires to bring forth the plan and purpose for their lives and their family's life. And we believe, Lord, that you're moving on our behalf in such a way that is mind-blowing. We thank you today, Lord. It's an honor to be in your holy house. It's an honor to have the purity of mind and soul because you've taught us to walk in that type of realm. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise for it now. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a great, great day. Can't send you to any fairs, or can I? Yeah, there's one over in Warren. I'm not sending you there. I've had another, too many stomach aches from Thief River. Give me another corn dog. All right. Well, God bless you. Amen.